It's a great privilege to be able to bring you the word this morning. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that your word instructs us in how to live life and how to love you and serve you and love and serve people. So Lord, as we conclude our Unconquered series this morning, help us to live in the victory that you've given us, Jesus, that would manifest in just being a great witness for you in the world. It's in your name we pray, and everybody said, amen. Amen. Just wanted to show a few pictures real quick. We're part of a worldwide family of churches. This was our Southeast pastors meeting on Monday and Tuesday. So we gathered with all of our Southeast pastors and leaders and just had a wonderful time. There's some Ben and some of our other campus ministers in the state of Florida. And so we just had a wonderful time. It is so important that we come together as a church family. Also, want to remind you that we have youth tonight at 6 o'clock at Titus Sports Academy, and God has been doing some great things in our younger generation, our middle school and high school students. And so 6 o'clock at Titus Sports Academy. If you want to send your child out, send them there this evening. All right, we are in Unconquered. I am finishing the series, the theme of Unconquered, and we're going to look at Hebrews chapter 11, verses 32 through 40 this morning as our main verse of Scripture. It is the great chapter of faith where it reminds us of the great faith of Noah and Moses and David and Abraham and others. And then as you keep reading, you get to verse 32, and the writer doesn't have time to write about all the great exploits in the Bible that people have done through faith. And so he goes into this, and what more shall I say? I do not have time to tell about Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, and David, and Samuel, and the prophets, who through faith did what? Conquered kingdoms. We are a conquering people. We are created by God to advance his kingdom, to take dominion on planet Earth. Come on. In Genesis, the first command God gave his creation, Adam and Eve, was to be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth, rule it, take dominion over it. So we are to be a people who advances, who conquers, who goes forth with God's purpose in the earth. By faith, they conquered kingdoms. They administered justice. All throughout history, there was injustice, slavery, all those kind of things. It was the people of God who brought true justice to the world. They gained what was promised. They shut the mouth of lions, quenched the fury of the flames, escaped the edge of the sword. The true unconquered spirit throughout history has been the spirit of God in his people. All throughout history, whether it was feeding Christians to the lions, trying to kill them by sword, or any other form of torture, one thing it did, it didn't make them weaker, it only made them stronger. The word of God has continued to go forth, the purpose of God has continued to go forth all throughout history, and this scripture is reminding of us of that fact. Whose weakness was turned to strength, they became powerful in what? Battle, and routed foreign armies. God allows us to experience battles, trials, and lives because he's strengthening us to do his will and to see his kingdom manifest here on earth. Women received back their dead, raised to life again. There were others who were tortured, refusing to be released so that they may gain even a better resurrection. Some faced jeers and flogging and even chains and imprisonment. They were put to death by stoning. They were sawed in two. They were killed by the sword. They went about in sheepskins, goatskins, destitute, persecuted, mistreated. The world was not worthy of them. They wandered in desert and mountains, living in caves and holes in the ground. These were all commended for their faith, yet none of them received what had been promised, since God had planned something better for us, so that only together with us would they be made perfect. They faced horrible circumstances and horrible situations, torture, prison, beatings, death. But they kept pressing on and going forward because deep down inside of them, they had a belief that they could create a better world that would represent Christ. In fact, they saw our day. They saw ahead and said, we want to lay down our lives in such a way that the generations that come after us will even be able to attain the better promises that God has for them. What tremendous sacrifice. What tremendous giving. And so when I read that passage of Scripture, again, as I've said before, when you get in God's Word, it gets in you. That encourages me of the great faith that we stand upon, but it also challenges me that people have gone before us and paid the ultimate sacrifice, that now we can grab the baton and run our race well. They gave it all so that we could continue on and have a life that represents Christ in honor and glory. Do you know that God wants us to imbibe or possess His Spirit in such a way that we live unconquered? Doesn't mean that we don't face trials. We will. Difficulties. Anytime you want to do something great for God, it never gets easier. It gets more difficult. Here's the good news this morning. Are you ready? If you really, 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 really want to serve Jesus and really, really live for Him, man, it is going to be tough. It is going to be difficult. It is going to be challenging. But God will give you the grace and He'll give you the Spirit to grow you, to mature you, to do things in you you thought could never be done for Him. And God wants us to possess His Spirit in such a way that we represent who Christ is to the world. What a great honor and privilege that is. You know, the unconquered theme is also Florida State's theme. And Florida State's in search of a new head football coach and haven't been able to find one yet. And a lot of people are petitioning for Odell Hagans to take the job. He's serving right now as the interim head coach. Odell played at Florida State. He's coached there now for 28 years. And when you think of Odell Hagans, he represents, he embodies what Florida State football is all about. They ask him, like, how are you winning? He's 4-0. And he said, we're just doing it the Florida State way. Well, what's the Florida State way? He says, well, just look at me and how I do things. And that's how God wants us to live. That's what the early church was called. What was the early church called in the earth? The way. When people saw how they lived, they called the disciples of Jesus Christians. We should live in such a way that people should say they are like Christ. They are Christians. There is a way that we can follow. We're going to do what they do. We're going to live like they live. We're going to serve like they serve. I wonder what Rebecca's neighbors were thinking. What are these people doing in the bushes and in the flower beds and on the roof? We're serving Jesus. That's what we're doing. Wow. I want to be a part of a community like that. That's how they lived. They went to the problems of the world. They went to the people, the lepers, the ones that they wouldn't touch, to the outcast. And they went and loved on them and cared for them and showed value to them. And it was revolutionary. Do you know that the unconquered spirit of Christ is always revolutionary in us? When we truly live it, it changes the world. I got a picture of Odell here. Look at that, unconquered. It's actually Alexis, a former cheerleader. But she's got Odell shirt on, right? Everybody's for Odell and unconquered, right? Because he fully represents who we are as Florida State Seminoles. But again, that's borrowed from Scripture. What if we really lived with the unconquered spirit? What if we got up every day in the reality that, man, there's going to be problems and trials today, but I'm going to face it like Jesus. I'm going to turn away wrath today with a kind word. I'm really going to let the joy of the Lord be my strength in this difficult situation. Those who are grumpy towards me, I'm going to love and I'm going to pray for. That is the unconquered spirit of Christ. Do you know that it's God's ways to use the trials of life to make us more like him? That is the unconquered spirit. In fact, we're supposed to rejoice in it. We are supposed to rejoice in the trials and difficulties of life. And all of life and everything that God is doing in us is a maturation process to come to that perspective. Everything God is doing in us is a maturation process to come to the perspective that everything that's happening to us, we can praise him and it can be good and we can give thanks in all circumstances, not for all circumstances, but in him because he's working it for good to make me more like him. James and Peter and John, they didn't start off that way in walking with him. They walked with him for selfish motives. Why do you think they all abandoned him when the moment of the crucifixion really came? Oh, this is what it's about. It's about losing your life. It's about laying down your life, denying yourself, and following me. Oh, they all abandoned, but he restored them all back. What was going on? They had an immature perspective about what was in it for them. Man, I mean, here's such a false philosophy. It's kind of the American gospel. If I serve God, give him my life, everything's going to go good for me. No, it's not. And there's it raises a greater question. What is good for you? Do you know how many times in life I thought that was good for me? And it was the worst thing I should have been doing? We don't even know how to define that in our own humanity and selfishness. That's why we so need the word of God. To transform and renew our minds so that our flesh aligns to what his word says in righteousness. My flesh doesn't want to do what God says is righteous. It wants to do selfish, sinful stuff. And somehow in America we think, well, man, if we just give our lives to God or believe in him, everything works out the way we want it to. No, it's about God's purpose and his plan being fulfilled in our lives. And no matter what we go through in that, there's a way in maturity we should respond to it. We don't have the options as followers of Jesus to not forgive when forgiveness is truly asked of us. We're different that way. We don't have a place to hate our enemies. We should love them and pray for them. We're different in that. We can't just respond or talk or say whatever we want to say when somebody says something about us. We respond different with our tongue and our mouth. And that's maturity and living in the unconquered spirit. James got a revelation of that. And he starts out his book. Praise God when you go through what? Various trials. Because the testing of your faith develops something. Perseverance. An unconquered spirit. Let the what? Let the testing of your faith develop that perseverance so that you'll be something. Mature and what? Complete. Lacking nothing. Mature and complete. Lacking nothing. See, we look to the material things of life to think that if I have a bunch of stuff, I lack nothing. And man, just go through the grocery store, stand in line to check out and just read the headlines of all the magazines that are there. Of people who have everything in the world and they're broken and empty. In true possession is contentment of soul in the purpose of Christ. Paul wrote to Timothy in 1 Timothy in regards to, we talk about giving and all that and money and the place. He said, godliness with contentment is great gain. Man, I love to give. Why? Because it keeps greed off of my life. Greed is the most unsatisfying thing on the planet Earth. Only one thing that breaks that is giving. And did you hear what Debbie said? How satisfying it was. I mean, they're all walking around sore today. They said, Jim, stand up. Jim was like, no, I'm going to stay seated. So, walking around sore today, but with a satisfaction of soul. Why? Because it's better to give than receive. It's a spiritual principle. Coming together as a community, being in church, encouraging one another. You know, the grumpiest people I meet during the week are people who aren't in church. Because there's something supernatural that's released, the scripture says. We encourage one another. We spur one another on towards love and good deeds when we gather together. Don't forsake it. Man, I've got a guy in the gym. He talks to me all the time. He is the most discontent, grumpy, angry person I've ever met. And every time he talks to me, he wants to justify how he doesn't go to church, but he believes in Christ, and how he doesn't give. And how every, and he's just, I mean, everybody in the gym, they all come to me, the other people, and go, man, pastor, I'm kind of the gym chaplain, right? Would you just go talk to that guy? Throw him on me, right? Because everybody's worn out by him. And so when he gets around me, guess what I talk to him about? He tries to give me his old line. I say, you need to be in church, you need to give. Or you'll always be the self-righteous, grumpy person that you are. That's why nobody wants to be around you, but you think you got all the answers. I'm having a good workout. How's yours? God working in us, constantly working in us, this maturity. The whole process of life is maturity. To have an unconquered spirit perspective as we live life. I love the end of Philippians, how Paul is there. And he's writing to a church that always was faithful to partner with him, not only in prayer, but financially in regards to the mission that God had called him to. And he's writing a thank you letter. And he says in chapter 1, to them, because of their faithfulness, he said, because of your faithfulness, I'm confident of this, that God, who began a good work in you, is going to carry it on to completion and to the day of Christ Jesus. And the rest of the book, he celebrates being in chains, because he goes, even the chains, while I'm here in chains and in bondage, it's allowing me to preach the gospel to soldiers and to other people who would never hear it without me being in chains. So I rejoice that my chains are advancing the gospel. That's a mature perspective in life. We get so miserable and grumpy over just some of the things we go through in work. You're not in prison in chains yet, getting beat with your head about to be chopped off. It's perspective, right? That's why it's important to get in the Word. You're not having a worse day than Paul. Change your attitude. Right? And then he gets to the end and he's talking to a very giving people, right? This is his most faithful giving group of people. And he says, let me just remind you. He goes, I'm not writing this because I need what it is that you have to give me. He says, I'm writing it because I want it to be accredited to your account one day. Yeah. That when you stand before God and you have to give an account of how you lived your life and your giving and all that stuff, your account will be full. Yeah. That's what he's telling them. Remember, this isn't about me and what I'm getting to do things. It's about your account before the Lord. Yeah. And then he says this, I've learned the secret of being content. Yeah. Whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want, I've learned the secret of contentment. I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. See, we quote that, especially in the athletic world, as a way to summon God's power to score a touchdown or to make a shot, right? As in, like, in the moment, I used to write Philippians 4:13 on my height tops when I played basketball at Florida State, thinking it would give me some kind of strength to perform a certain basketball skill. And I missed the total context of what all that was about. It had nothing to do with making a basket. It's a scripture that Paul writes from a lifelong pursuit of following Jesus and his work of dying to self every day and crucifying the flesh and facing torture and prison and abandonment and the sufferings of life and allowing God to get him through that and becoming to a place to where even facing death, it doesn't matter because he's got a perspective for me to live as Christ, but to die is gain, he says earlier in the chapter. He's got that kind of perspective. So in that, he goes, man, there's something in me that's way beyond my own abilities and my flesh and my own personal powers and self-talk and all that that gives me strength. It's the power of Christ that no matter what I'm facing, he strengthens me. It's a lifelong development. You don't see that scripture in the book of Acts when he first started preaching. You see it in a specific book, one of the last ones he writes at the end of his life to a certain group of people, because God's worked that in him his whole life through the trials and through the obstacles that he's been through. Oh, what if today we looked at the world, church, and saw all the problems, saw all the issues, and got beyond ourselves and looked at it as if it was a great opportunity to be a witness for Jesus? What if we stepped into work tomorrow and all the challenges and all the things we face and the busyness of life, there was a different spirit emanating from us? Oh, what kind of impact we could make. You know what I'm tired of? You know what I'm tired of? I'm tired of always talking to people, and all of our conversations are always about how busy we are and how stressed out we are. And you know what I've been thinking lately? We're the dummies who create it. We're in control of our own lives. It's called stewardship. We steward the lives that we live. And why, as we drift further from God, why is it always filled up with activities of life that don't make us better people, but stress us out? It's the thorns, right? What did Jesus say in the parable of the thorns? They would come. The what of life? The worries of life. Well, why do we create lives during the week that bring us so much worry? Huh? Why don't we get free in the purpose of God? Many are the plans in a man's heart, Proverbs 16, right? It's the purpose of the Lord. We plan our course, but God, what, establishes our steps. Let me tell you this. Get real sincere and say, Lord, I'll do whatever I need to do to rearrange my life to be in the center of your will. Meaning, I'm not going to live in such a way that I'm so stressed out or worked out or busy that I miss church. I'm not going to live such a way during the day that I can't get in your word, worship, and pray and connect with you. I'm not going to live in such a way that I'm not investing my life into other people to help make disciples. Man, make those three commitments. Say, Lord, set my day, set my week, order it in such a way that I commit to those things wholeheartedly, and watch, everything else will start to fall into place. I'm telling you. Look, you want the world to continue to wear you out? Guess what the world will do? It will continue to do it. It will continue to do it. Here's a secret. You're in control. It's a matter of priority, right? And today, man, we are just living in a world that there is such an opportunity today to be a great witness for Christ. I'm going to conclude with this. So much more I could say, but I saw this article the other day, and I read it, and I thought it was very powerful, just in perspective. And do you know what I love about what God does? Whether you're called, I love the dance this morning. Look, this place is going to be a place where arts, athletics, entertainment, the marketplace, we're every nation. We're going into every sphere of culture to see it redeemed for the purpose of Christ. Come on. We're not giving it up to the world anymore. You know, we're not going to be a place to where artists and entertainers have to sell their soul to the world because there's no outlet in the right kind of way in the culture of the church for them to express their gifts to God. Not going to be that. How encouraging it is to see kids dancing on stage. Does that encourage you? That encourages me. I didn't grow up in a church where I could dance on stage. I could barely breathe in it without getting rebuked. That's a little sidebar. But with that, I love this article. Pull up the Facebook article, will you please, Chris? Jaguars QB Nick Foles, I'm going to glorify Christ in what? The good or the bad? Former Super Bowl, I think, MVP, quarterback for the Eagles, got traded to the Jaguars. Oh, this is going to be great. Man, God's given me a Super Bowl platform to be a great witness for him. What happens? He gets injured, right? He gets injured. Great opportunity to be mad, bitter, angry at the Lord. Let's look at what God is doing in his life. Let's listen. He says, we tend to make this so much about us as human beings. We tend to make it about us as athletes. It's not about us. It really isn't. And if you make it about yourself, you're probably going to go home at night, lay your head on your pillow, and be very alone and very sad. When you make life about you, you go home very alone and very sad. The work crew yesterday made it about somebody else. They went home very sore, but very happy, very content. And then hopefully someday you can find that purpose in your life. Because our purpose isn't football. It is impacting people. The injury, he said, helped him grow stronger as a person, including in his faith. But from a spiritual perspective, from my heart, I've been able to grow as a human being to where I feel like I'm in a better situation here as a person than I was before because of the trial I just went under. The unconquered spirit, right? It wasn't the success of winning the Super Bowl that made him a better person. It was persevering through the trial of an injury that is forming more of Christ in him and giving him this perspective. He says, I know that's a sermon in and of itself, but that's how I go through life. And the good Lord's been there. It's not always about prosperity. I don't believe in the prosperity gospel. I believe that if you read the word of God and understand it, then trials along the way come, but they equip your heart to be who God's made you to be. That is perspective, right? Whether I'm in want, whether I'm in plenty, I know what I have been given by God to steward. I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. God's working a maturation and a perspective in us to be a people in this city and in every nation to represent him in a very lonely, empty, busy, unfulfilled world. So rejoice in the hell you're going through right now because people are watching and two things are happening. It's working Christ in you. And it's giving you an opportunity to be someone of supernatural power to say, I don't respond like the world does. I respond like Jesus does. Because I have a strength from Christ that allows me to do all things. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word this morning. Prayer team, if you'd come on up this morning, just come on up now if you would. I just thank you for your word. Thank you for this thought of being more than conquerors in Christ Jesus who loved us. Lord, your word says, no, in all these things we are more than conquerors through Christ who loved us. Lord, that's in the context of trials and tribulations in life. And so I want to pray just quickly here for two groups of people. One, if you've never given Jesus, if you never made Jesus the Lord of your life, really just repented of your sins and put your faith in Christ, be your Lord and Savior, I want to give you the opportunity to do that just by raising your hand. I want to give you the opportunity to do that. I'd love to pray for you. If you feel God's tugging on your heart to know Him as your Lord and Savior, to get your life right with Him, He's drawing you in for you to know His will. Just raise your hand. I'd love to pray for you. I'd love to pray with you. Second group of people. God bless you. God bless you. Come on up, sister. Good to see you. Anybody else this morning? Just wanting to make that commitment. Just to say, I want Jesus to be the Lord of my life. I want my life to be right with God. Second group of people I want to pray for is that God's been making things very difficult in your life. And it's for a reason. It's to change. No challenge, no change. It's a principle in life. And you know there's some things in your life that need to change, that need to be rearranged, and you have not been as obedient to that as you need to be. If that's you, I just want you to stand up. I just want to pray for you to have the grace to be able to make those changes so that Christ can more fully manifest in your life. That's you this morning. I just want you to stand. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. These are humbling moments to where we recognize that our strength is in Christ and Christ alone. God bless you. I know there's others. I know there's others. A new spirit is going to come upon you. Look, the trials and problems aren't going away. That's not what this is about. This is a new perspective and a new resolve to address them and to meet them. Come on up here. Can you turn on the mic real quick? Love this brother right here. Is today the anniversary?
Yeah.
Today's the anniversary. A close friend of his committed suicide 4 years ago. 4 years ago. Trial, right? Trial in life. Difficulty. And with a younger perspective, it caused him to go sideways in his faith, to develop agnostic thinking and question the goodness of God. He's a different man today with a different perspective, trusting in the goodness of God. And he wanted to testify about that.
For those of you who don't know me, I'm John. About 4 years ago, like you said, it was actually a very crazy day for me. I was so excited. At the time, I deadlifted, if any of you are aware of what that is, lift the weight off the ground, 600 pounds, which was like three times my body weight. And I was so excited until the next morning I got a message from his dad. He's like, John, I don't know how to tell you this, but they found Ben in his room, and it was pills, and we're not sure what happened. And it just, like, it tested me. My faith was, I was physically strong then, but my faith was not strong. And so I went just a solid 3 years of just getting drunk every weekend, a lot of drugs. Honestly, like, I was unfaithful to my wife, sex with just random people, and it didn't do anything for me. It left me even more empty at the end of it. I was angrier, and I'm fortunate to be alive here, because there were nights where I was... going home, and I was drugged out. I was so drunk. I was driving like just an idiot, and I'm screaming at the top of my lungs because I'm so mad. I'm so mad at God. I'm like, he was a Christian brother of mine. Why'd you let this happen? And somehow I woke up, and I was in my bed, and I was fine, and I was like, there's no way I should have made it here on my own. Like, there's no way I could have made it alive. And about a year ago now, I called up Ron when I was in the hospital, and he didn't even ask me why I was there. He just came to me, and like, we prayed together, and he brought me back into the fold. There wasn't any like, oh, what'd you do while you were gone? It was like, no, welcome back. Like, we're so happy to have you here. And in January, I got baptized, and I recommitted everything, because I should not be alive today, and I wouldn't be if it weren't for him. And so I have everything to thank him to thank for my whole life.
Proud of you, bud. Proud of you, man. Let me just clarify one thing. The Heavenly Father brought him back. not Pastor Ron. I don't have that power. I just had the privilege of being able to answer the call and just be a support. So, Father, we just thank you for all that you're doing this morning. We love you. Lord, let us leave just encouraged and challenged to be all that you've created us and called us to be. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. What a great Sunday. If you need prayer, if you stood up, come get prayer and just agreement for what God's doing in your life. And also, before you leave, sign up for our big Thanksgiving meal, right? Give thanks next Sunday. So bring your favorite dish, all right? I want to try it. I want to eat it. I really like cookies. So bring it. God bless you. Have a great rest of your Sunday and week. We are Every Nation Tallahassee, unconquered in Jesus. So good to see you this morning. Come get prayer if you need it.